This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a three-time champion, check out my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
A-U-D-A-C-Y. Type that into your app search, then download Jones and Keefe
on WEEI.
High noon on Jones and Keefe, a Tier Tuesday. You can check out the tiers at Jones and Keefe on social media and on the Odyssey app, A-U-D-A-C-Y. Get it on your phone, free, easy. Take it with you wherever you go. It is not just a Tier Tuesday. We have Kiefer Madness on the way at 12:45, and it's also a Tom E. Tuesday. Tommy Curran, NBC Sports Boston, joins us every Tuesday at noon. His latest is up now at NBC Sports Boston. Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes, the GOAT debate. He says that Tom Brady proved, Super Bowl 59 proved, that the Tom Brady-Mahomes race just isn't that close. He wrote, nobody, perhaps in American pro sports history, could ever do the Lazarus Act like Tom Brady. Even when he didn't rise fully from the dead, you had to pry games from his cold, dead hands. He never got his face blown off like Peyton Manning did in Seattle or against Seattle in 2012, like Mahomes did on Sunday, like Montana in 86 when his Niners lost 49-3 to the Giants.
Oh,
that's a good one to file away.
It is.
Or when he got benched in 87 in the divisional round against Minnesota, like John Elway when he lost a combined by a combined 96 points in his first three trips to the Super Bowl. There's pretty much the top five quarterbacks in NFL history. Brady, Mahomes, Montana, Elway, Manning. Four of them got blown out. Brady, not so much. Tommy Curran, you don't think it's a real debate, Brady and Mahomes?
I think it's a good debate on the arc. But I think that had Mahomes won on Sunday, there would have been a contention that he had arrived, that he was there, that he was on the peak of Olympus, standing eye to eye, arm in arm with Tom Brady, and that is insane. And I know that it would have been easily assailed by people who would just say count the rings, but I think people would also then say, well, what Mahomes just did at the start of his career trumps Brady. And people don't understand that while the first three – I hate when people say people don't understand. Of course they do.
You're talking to us. I mean, you never know, Tom. Yeah, we really might not, yeah.
No, it's sometimes overlooked that Brady, for the first four seasons of his career – was dismissed and dismissed and dismissed and marginalized, even as he won 10 playoff games in a row and certainly was on the Montana arc, as I was alleging when he was 10-0 and had won three Super Bowls. And people were like, Brady didn't get equal to Montana until 2016, honestly. But I digress. When they finally gave him Moss, he threw for 50 friggin' touchdowns, and the team scored 75, both NFL records. So that, to me, was showing, okay, not only is he the most accomplished within a team, but all you have to give him is some toys and not, God bless them, Deion Branch and David Givens and Bethel Johnson and Antoine Smith and Troy, all wonderful players. But if you marry him with a Hall of Fame player like Moss, this shows he's the greatest player that has ever played. So anyway,
yeah,
it's kind of really a blowout.
You know, it is. And that's why I think the better debate, which nobody wants to have because it's, you know, I guess it's maybe boring to argue about who the second best is in anything, but Mahomes versus Montana, Mahomes versus Peyton Manning, Mahomes versus Elway, I think are pretty fascinating debates, and those are good ones. You can take your sides on it. It's like, but we already need to leap to the guy who's played for 23 years and won 7 Super Bowls. Like, well, that's not really fair to anybody.
I think the Chiefs are going to enter the wilderness now, too.
Really?
The Patriots never did. Yeah, I do. Kelsey's ancient.
Yep.
They have Juju. DeAndre Hopkins, who I still love, is just not somebody to build around. They have Hollywood Brown and Xavier Worthy. Kareem Hunt and, Rashee Rice will be back. unfortunately. Yeah. For the whatever you have of an opinion on that. So they're going to be in the wilderness. They got absolutely pantsed on the offensive line, and they're not getting any younger. And so I think that they are going to enter the wilderness a little bit.
Now, what does that mean in your mind? Is it, you lose in the divisional round, or it's like you missed the playoffs?
9-8.
Oh, wow.
9-8, 10-7, Patriots 2009 type business. I mean, what the Patriots did in 2010 is still remarkable, but to do that, they had to draft in 2008 Mayo, 2009 Edelman, Chung, 2010 McCourty, Gronk, more guys that I'm missing, Slater, but 2011 Hightower, Solder, and then 2012 Hightower and Jones. You had to rebuild through the draft, and then boom, the bottom fell out in 2013 draft wise. So they were able to live through the rest of the decade, or at least until 2018, and they were hanging by a thumbnail through that Super Bowl. But after that, that's how it goes.
Well, and so I get it. Like, Kelce is aging out. Andy Reid, who knows how much longer he's going to coach for. Spagnuolo, same deal. But the Chiefs do draft pretty well. Like, I probably Bill in that era doesn't get enough credit for how well he drafted. But the Chiefs have drafted well. They're still getting players. So you think it's about to drop out?
I do, because I do think it's offensive line and skill position based. And it is obviously quarterback based, but it's offensive line and skill position based. But if you cannot complement it and take advantage of your cheat code, which you have a quarterback, then you're just going to be another good team. And that's what the Patriots will run the risk of being. Will they top out with Drake May as an average to good team, or will they do a remarkable job like the Philadelphia Eagles did in surrounding your quarterback with trades, free agent pickups like Zach Bond, draft picks, like they made all along the defensive front. So can you do that and then go to the Super Bowl with like the eighth or ninth best quarterback in the league?
So do you think the Philadelphia Eagles are set up for a long run? Like, if we just went from the Patriots dynasty to the Chiefs dynasty, you think that might take a little bit of a hit? Are the Eagles set up for it, or is it, is the league kind of getting what they want, which is, more parity?
I just don't think there's going to be any such thing as dynasties as we traditionally knew them. They're just going to pass off being in Super Bowls, attending them, not even winning them necessarily.
Yeah,
I think that it's too hard. It really is. And, Belichick had a good point talking to Jim Gray on his final Let's Go podcast this week. And it's one that, for all of us who spend a lot of time focusing on the downfall of the Patriots over the last, 5 years of Belichick's tenure especially, it's just such a wear and tear on a good team. You work until friggin' Valentine's Day. You have 15 minutes to get ready for the combine. You're going to end up with the worst draft pick. All the players on your team just played in the Super Bowl, so you have to pay some of them. You're going to lose some of them. You're going to lose some of your coaches. It's such a barrier to excellence to be a good team that it equalizes things and it wears your asses down. I mean, what is it? Brady played, three extra seasons of playoff football, I think? I'd have to check it.
No, I think you're right. I think it's something like that. Yeah, 48 games. Yeah, exactly.
It's insane.
Yeah.
So he played, 21 seasons plus three? 24 seasons in the NFL when you break it out and look at the number of games. So that's why I don't think you're going to see dynasties. And I think that inevitably you're going to see no one's ever going to three-peat before I die.
All right.
We had
that on the tombstone. Some are trying to pretend that the Packers did.
He was right.
even though the Packers didn't do it in the Super Bowl era. Tommy Curran, NBC Sports Boston. You can check out all his latest there. Check him out on Quick Slants. Tom, how much of a hit does Andy Reid take for the other night?
He's so cuddly. He doesn't get hit.
Travis Kelce tried to fight him last Super Bowl.
That's a good point.
Yeah, and how'd that go for him? He'll be out of the NFL. I mean, that was so outrageous, too, when you think about it. He's freaking bodying.
Yeah.
Head coach. What a fool.
It's nuts.
Yeah. I mean, of all people, the body. I mean, I could see fighting Nick Sirianni. I mean, to get to that point with a guy with that face.
Mm-hmm.
But body him. Wilford Brimley.
Yeah.
So I don't think it hurts Andy Reid. Andy Reid is kind of more of a lifer, a marathoner, than Bill Belichick's two sprints that he showed. Like when you say, "Oh, Andy Reid might break Belichick's record," you're like, "Ah, he's still not a better coach." I mean, I really truly believe that, and I look at, ironically, Don Shula and say he's got more wins. He still wasn't a better coach. I mean, Belichick is just unparalleled from as an assistant, as a defensive coordinator with the Giants, with all the game plans against unbelievable, unstoppable teams and offenses, and with what he wrought for a long period in New England before unrotting it.
Speaking of Belichick, what did you make of his weekend? He popped up in the Dunkin's commercial with his girlfriend, who was also spotted earlier in the weekend wearing a Falcons Super Bowl champion T-shirt.
I don't know. I think I'm too jaded on Bill at this point. I might be too jaded. It's weird guy.
Yeah. Yeah. Fair enough.
That's all. No. That's all I can say. I mean, I honestly think there's a point at which I start to think, I don't know, man. Have I gone on too long on Bill? Like, you don't want to be cartoonish. I mean, I thought it was goofy. I thought it was just straight weird. And I'm like, how did the conversation take place with the woman? Who initiated
the girl?
Let's try and get you in the commercial.
My guess is she said, "I want
Jordan
to do this."
Yeah, yeah, would be my guess as well. Yeah,
and he's like, "I'll do whatever you say."
I don't know. I don't know. I was talking about this with Phil Perry, and I said, "There's got to be a point at which Bill says, hey, what can I do for you here?" I mean, all she was doing was sitting in an airplane seat. I mean, it's not like she was trying to get into a commercial in 2 years, seemingly.
I don't know. I don't think she didn't recognize her enough credit.
She didn't recognize Bill Belichick?
Yeah, I think she might have.
Well, she did. Did she go and say, I need a seat change? I'm going to sit next to Bill and try and get him to autograph my book?
Well,
I mean, I just...
I'm not ruling it out.
I mean, that's...
Again, I'm spending too much time on Bill Belichick and his girlfriend. I don't know.
I would say maybe not enough, because it's not like we're like dragging these stories. I'd be like, hey, remember Bill? Like, no. He is at the NFL honors, which he never is, and he's got his girlfriend on the red carpet.
It's just weird and embarrassing. Oh, hey, gotcha. I got my 8 rings here. All right, great. Well, would you be doing that had you gotten the job with the Raiders? If you got the job last year with the Falcons?
Right.
Or are you just trying to say, see?
Yeah.
And so I'm just going to end up being ridiculously negative about a 72-year-old guy who was the greatest coach in NFL history and who really did a great job of creating the team that I covered. So I don't want to become cartoonish in my nonstop ripping of Willie. But it's probably a 2-way.
Yeah,
ripping a Willie. Don't look that up on a work computer.
Part of the job.
So, Tom, let me ask you, now that we're basically to this point in the offseason, games are done. We've been talking a lot about the Patriots offseason and what they're going to do. We're here now. What do we expect the Patriots to get done in the offseason, and specifically free agency, which is going to come up first? Where are we looking? What should we expect?
I'm going to work a little bit this week on a story that I was pursuing when I was at the Super Bowl to look at free agency, because, as I've said to you guys, it's not free agency isn't what it's cracked up to be. And I'm watching yesterday, and one of the radio shows in town was asked, well, what can the Patriots do to get better? Spend money! Okay, well, that was the answer last year. On who? Tyron, who's the dude again? Tyron Smith.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, Jonah Johnson. I mean, there just weren't great players out there. So the Patriots have to be innovative, in my estimation. You have to find the ability to look at your roster, look at the players who are out there and some who aren't out there, and figure out ways to get them. And getting back to free agency, when I talked to folks down at the Super Bowl, they said, watch teams like Cleveland, watch teams who are up against it, who are going to have to release good players, because as the cap is going up and you're having to cut ridiculous checks to middling players, for good players who aren't incredible, like a Trevor Lawrence or a Tua or whoever else, you're going to have to see some 30 and 31 and 32-year-old guys released who signed those ridiculous contracts a few years ago themselves when they were 28. One example would be like a Jack Conklin from Cleveland. Really good offensive lineman. Vrabel was there. Would Jack Conklin come available? Can you find those opportunities? Can you find trade opportunities? Can you look at your offense and say, well, shoot, mm-hmm. I don't want Tet McMillan in the draft. I don't want Travis Hunter. But I do look at the draft and see a crap ton of tight ends. And why not just build the whole plane out of tight ends? Honestly. Think about it. You got Brock Bowers, you got Sam Laporta, you got TJ Hockenson, you have George Kittle, you have Kelsey, Gronk, you name it. The number of tight ends who become security blankets, and you go, oh, they already got Hunter Henry. He's 31. And sometimes, because of the nature of the routes, he gets hit a lot. So be innovative. Try and find other ways. Okay, well, there's no wideouts. Fine. We'll draft a tight end. Have fun with that.
All right, where do you stand on Cooper Kupp, who is obviously available? The Rams are looking to trade him. Would you like that addition?
I'd trade for him if he'd be over the moon about coming here. If he would reluctantly come here and not be into it, then I'd say, nah, okay.
Mm. How about,
we're all set with you.
How about the same question, Deebo Samuel?
Yes.
Why such a
but
quick yes there but... more hesitant on Kupp. Why Deebo over Kupp?
The versatility of Deebo. Now, obviously, I think you have to manage him in a different fashion because he does spend an awful lot of time injured. But I think that, you know, as a running back, as a slot, as a downfield receiver, he's a little bit different than Cooper Kupp. So I would look at him as an individual. But again, is it an easy sell right now for the Patriots? Would they have to overpay not just with the trade, but they need willing participants? They can't have people coming here kicking rocks and not being that into it. And they've experienced that, I think, through free agency, even when Bill was here. I don't think Nelson Aguilar friggin' loved it here. Kendrick Bourne certainly is a happy guy, but I don't think he loved it in 2022 when he was constantly in the doghouse, some of it because of his own inability to pick things up and be in the right place at the right time. But I think that they need to value people who want to be there. And I think that Vrabel has kind of articulated that with his statements that, you know, we want people who are going to put the team very much first.
All right. He's Tommy Curran. Check out his work, NBC Sports Boston. I should know this. Is Quick Slants, is that done for football season? Does that continue?
No,
can they check you out tonight?
We usually had a post conversation after the Super Bowl, but none this year. But I will tell you this.
Yes.
I'm going to have Mike Sando he's going to be on the podcast, and he voted for Lamar Jackson All-Pro and Lamar Jackson MVP. And I love Mike Sando, and he says it just does not compute that someone would do otherwise. Well, I did otherwise.
You were
one of those.
All right, good fight.
Yeah.
Let's go.
And I voted for Lamar Jackson for All Pro. Because you know why?
Yeah, I'd love to know why,
actually. Valuable.
So yeah, the best quarterback
MVP.
Is not the most valuable?
Yeah.
I'm on Mike Sando's side.
I voted for my trump card is
this. I hate to say it, too. We're kind of mocking Orlovsky for this. I'm also on Sando's side on this. Yeah.
Yeah, he goofs. I voted for Chad Pennington in 2008.
I was going to say, this year seems like a throwaway.
For comeback player? What'd you vote him for?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, in 2008, you dink.
Okay.
He was the MVP of the league?
Jesus, Tom.
Holy
you still
smokes.
Have a vote after that?
Do you understand what valuable means? Do you understand how bad the Dolphins were before Pennington joined them? The drastic improvement that the Dolphins saw. What's the word valuable mean to you?
He did lead the league
a
in completion percentage.
A change maker. It doesn't mean who was the most outstanding, who compiled the most stats. It means if you took them away, how horrendous would they be?
Ronnie Brown was pretty good running the Wildcat that year.
Probably should have voted for Mahomes every year.
Did you know Chad Pennington finished second in the MVP vote that year?
Yeah, probably because of Tom's vote. Because of Tom's vote.
Oh. Solely.
Yeah, it was 49-1. 49-1. No, I'm kidding. He got four.
Nice. All right. Well, make sure you check that out. Patriots Talk Podcast with Tommy Curran. All right. All over NBC Sports Boston and Thursday. So WEEI afternoons as well. Tom, we appreciate the time. Thanks,
guys. Valuable bull.
Daniels be very valuable? Isn't team proved by like 8 wins?
We'll talk about this next week.
All right, fair enough.
All right,
put a pin in it.
See you, Tom.
Bye, Tom.
Oh, I was thought I was going to go by there.
Wouldn't you say?
Peyton Manning that year. Well, this is fascinating. Peyton Manning won the MVP that year. Chad Pennington, Michael Turner also got MVP votes.
Oh, the burner Turner?
That guy
could scoot.
He could.
This is a good text. How fast would Keith's samurai sword get brought out if his daughter brought home a 72-year-old boyfriend when she was 24? Let's just say when my daughter's 24, how old will I be? I'll be
I could
still wield the sword, though.
But you'd be younger than that, gentlemen.
I'd probably get put away.
Yeah.
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 But so would that guy.
Well. Yeah, he'd be hacked hacked up in a little.
Yeah. He'd be much more worse for wear.
For your dog, yeah.
I mean, I'd be in prison for life, but... Yeah.
Valuable.
I think it all that charming. No, so valuable?
Valuable.
Lamar Jackson, I would say, was valuable without looking up the Oxford Dictionary definition of it.
I would just say, I didn't realize, we actually brought up Curran's MVP vote. I must have missed this because we're mocking Orlovsky for this.
Same thing.
I feel like you have to be consistent on that one.
If you're the most
first
valuable.
Team All-Pro and MVP. I would think you'd have, at the quarterback position, I would think you'd have to
but
be.
But if you're the best quarterback, but you're not the most valuable, you're not the most valuable quarterback?
No.
Well, not according to him. Valuable.
Yeah.
But like that argument.
It's valuable. It should be Burrow.
Valuable.
But don't you think the argument can be said for all those top quarterbacks? If you put in like a backup replacement level quarterback, wouldn't all those top teams be much worse?
Yeah.
I mean, maybe not. Nick Foles won a Super Bowl, so maybe that's a strike against somebody like Carson Wentz. But I feel like if you took Mahomes, Lamar, Josh Allen, Jaden Daniels off their teams. Wouldn't they be much worse?
Probably pretty poor.
Yeah.
Anyway. Okay.
All right. That's fun, though. I'll check that podcast out.
Good stuff. He doesn't want to pile on Bill anymore.
Well, no.
I'm going to continue to do so, but he's a bigger man than me.
No, but I get his overall point. Be like, are we still talking about Bill? It's like, well, if he keeps popping up in these commercials that apparently were watched by more people than anybody in the history of television, we're going
to
talk about
it. The other reason that I think it's fair to pile on Bill, and Twitch chat is very pro-Bill, and that's fine.
Great.
And so maybe you like that Tom is not going to keep piling on. Bill used to mock this. Bill used to mock the idea of like showing up with all your rings to like an award show. It's all about Lombardis.
He's on Twitter and Instagram now.
And now the second he's out of the NFL,
he's
like parading around and doing whatever, which is fine. He's allowed to do it.
Do whatever you want.
But it just feels very hypocritical and inconsistent. Yeah. That's all.
And I'm one of these people that thinks a 50-year age gap between a boyfriend and a girlfriend is weird. Okay? I'm one of those people. Lock me up.
Yeah,
if that's the only crime I've committed, lock me up.
All you future yous out there.
Yeah.
You've been warned.
Yeah.
You've been warned. 617-779-7937. We'll get you a Kiefer Madness coming up at 12:45. Billy Lanny with all the latest in trending. And when we come back, let's get to the Patriots, their offseason. Who's actually in charge of it? That's next.
The exclusive home for Patriots Monday and Friday.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending is brought to you by FindMassMoney.gov. It's back-to-back wins for the Celtics after last night's 103-85 victory over the Heat in Miami. Jason Tatum led all scorers with 33 points. Up next, the Seas will host the San Antonio Spurs tomorrow night. Red Sox pitchers and catchers will officially report to Fort Myers tomorrow. According to John Heyman, former Red Sox closer Kenley Jensen has signed a one-year deal with the Los Angeles Angels worth $10 million. The New Orleans Saints are finalizing a deal with Eagles offensive coordinator Kellen Moore to become their new head coach. Boston University got the 4-1 upset win over the number one ranked Boston College Eagles in the Beanpot Championship last night. This is BU's 32nd Beanpot title. And tonight on WEEI AM 850, the UConn Huskies take on the number 24 ranked Creighton Blue Jays. Tip-off is at 9 o'clock with Westwood One's coverage beginning at 8:45. Celebrate your favorite presidents with money from FindMassMoney.gov. You can have unclaimed money from a forgotten savings account, uncashed payroll checks, or refund check that never got to you. Go to FindMassMoney.gov today. It's a secure website. Takes only 30 seconds to search your name. I'm Billy Lanny. That's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Jones and Keefe
on WEEI.
Download the Odyssey app and listen on demand anytime.
But my understanding is they are open to trading the number one overall pick, which if that is true, they're going to get offers. It is a year where, first of all, it doesn't feel like there's right now or there's going to be a consensus on the quarterback. Some people really like him. Some people like him in a certain system. Some people not as much. Because it's all over the map, you're going to get teams who really, really want to trade up. And other teams are like, I hope everyone trades up so I can get a great pass rusher or a great corner slash receiver or whatever it ends up being. We also don't know the Tennessee Titans, who also do need a quarterback. What do they think of the top guys? Is Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders someone they believe to be their franchise quarterback? If it is, then there's no point in having this conversation. If they aren't sure, then this is what we're going to be talking about for the next 4 months. Going to be fascinating to get to Indianapolis, see where all this lands, see everyone in person, really begin the process of figuring out where the Titans go from here.
Ian Rappaport discussing the Tennessee Titans. I thought that was relevant for one reason. Is there merit for the Patriots trading up to the first overall pick? If it's really in play and Tennessee's really shopping it, should New England say, well, we're not going to get Abdul Carter at 4, we're not going to get Travis Hunter at 4, so let's go get him at 1. I know you disagree with that.
Yeah, it's just too much to give up, I think.
I think you make a valid point. Why are you going to throw more assets at one player in a bad draft?
And if somebody does trade with Tennessee, is there a chance that that team just wants to make sure they get their quarterback?
Probably.
Right, more likely it's somebody's more likely trading up there for Cam Ward or Sanders than
Tennessee
they are.
Tennessee trades the guys you actually want.
So that pushes down.
Bumps them down.
Yeah.
I would agree with that.
And then maybe either 2 or 3 ends up also being a quarterback, either with the teams that are there or somebody else trades up for them, like a team like the Raiders that are there at 6. They might feel the need to get above the Patriots too. So then I think if you're there at 4 and then you have the choice of Hunter or Carter, that's probably the best case scenario right now.
Yeah. No. You know? I would like one of those two players. I think I'm probably overreacting to the Super Bowl, but I would lean the pass rusher now, especially since you have Gonzalez. I would lean Abdul Carter now. After watching the Super Bowl and the impact that the Eagles pass rush made, I get my choice of those two players. Say the Patriots trade up to 1. I would trade up to 1 for Carter, but I'd be happy with either of those two. Field Yates had a mock draft today where the nightmare scenario comes up for the Patriots. They're both gone. And I even think this is not a great scenario for them. Cam Ward has gone at 3. Like, if you're on the clock at 4 and both quarterbacks are there, maybe there's a chance you can play teams off each other to go get the QBs, although if they're already falling, maybe they're just destined to fall. But Hunter 1, Carter 2, Ward 3. Now you're on the board at 4. Like, what do you do?
Panic. Or you don't take anybody like the Vikings did years ago, and you just let
somebody else run up there.
You're like, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, at that point, you probably have to at least listen to offers to see what it is. Not that you want to trade down in a kind of a weak draft, but you got to consider it. Maybe that even comes in with a future first-round pick, especially if there's still a team that circles it and says, all right, we need a quarterback. We don't want to take our chances. We want to move up. Maybe it's the Raiders. They want to make sure nobody trades up with you at 4 or jumps up to 5 and does it. So you move down 2 spots and get a future pick. Like, that might be worth doing, you know, because guys like Will Campbell and some of these other linemen, they might be good additions, but I don't think you want to take them at 4. So you want to see what else you can do.
I don't want to. And I'm not even sold he's the best offensive lineman in the draft. If you look, and I think there's a real chance that Simmons, the tackle from Ohio State, by the end of the day is viewed as the best tackle in the draft. You start looking at mock drafts, he used to be a late first rounder. He's going in the middle of these first rounds left and right. I wouldn't be surprised if he starts getting mocked as the first guy off the board, and maybe he is the first tackle chosen. I don't love Will Campbell as a prospect, especially at 4. At 4, I don't love him, I should say.
Yeah.
I do agree with this text, 617-779-7937. Guys, give me a break. Everyone knows the Titans need a quarterback.
True. This is going to be posturing.
I think now that it's mixed messaging, I do think the Titans are just trying to gauge what they could get for the first pick.
Yeah.
Because there was the Chad Brinker, who is running football ops in Tennessee, said a few weeks ago, we're not going to pass on a generational prospect. But now they're shopping the first pick a couple of weeks later. So it feels like they're just kind of gauging what they could get and what the interest level is. Best guess, Tennessee probably just drafts a quarterback number one overall.
Yeah,
probably,
most likely.
You said that a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
And I think you were right about that. The more we're finding out about all the various reports out of Tennessee and the misinformation and the information's all over the map, they probably just want to gauge interest, and then they're going to stick and pick and take the best quarterback.
Because they probably saw enough of Will Levis this year to realize that it ain't Will Levis. So I think they'll probably just take a quarterback. Now, the only reason why I think there's maybe a chance that they'd be entertaining a trade down would be because it isn't a draft with what would be a consensus like stud quarterback. So like last year, for example, if this, they're not trading it, you'd just pick from Williams, Daniels, or May. You'd be right. Happy with any three of them. Even right. Like, not that he's panned out, but like going into the draft with Trevor Lawrence sitting there, they'd just take him and move on. But this year, you're like, ah.
If you love Cam Ward.
And maybe they do, and they'll just take him.
But I'm saying, but you could also do the Danny Ainge thing where you're like, we love Tatum, but if we could move down and still get him and get extra assets.
That's maybe risky, though, because
I think it's super risky.
All three teams at the top need one. And then, you know, the Raiders and a few others need one. And so that is a dangerous game to play. Like, you might not like them that high, but if you want to walk away from this draft with a quarterback, like, you're not going to wait much longer than that.
No. And I still think the Ainge trade is wildly overrated because they did nothing with the extra pick. In retrospect, you basically netted at the end of the day the same thing you would have got by just drafting Tatum number one.
It's like when you traded Doc Rivers. It's like you got R.J. Hunter.
Right.
It's like, all right.
Good job,
a cool idea.
Good job getting a first rounder for Doc. He stinks, so good job getting a first rounder, but so did RJ Hunter.
Right.
Right. Meanwhile, Adam Schefter today, and I think this all factors in, because who's in charge of the decision-making? If they're going to trade up at four or trade back at four, what do you do when you're on the clock at four? Is it Vrabel? Is it Wolf? Is it Ryan Cowden? Is it ownership? And I think ownership was very, very much involved with the pick last year. Schefter apparently still writes. I was unaware of that. But he still writes for ESPN. He had the top five most interesting teams in the NFL this offseason.
Okay.
Bengals won. I think self-evident. They have a bunch of good free agents.
You're right.
They got to sign
Burrow's
Chase.
Like begging them to sign these guys.
Higgins, Hendrickson, et cetera, et cetera. Cleveland's on the list. What do they do with Myles Garrett? The Saints, I was surprised at. I don't really find them to be that interesting.
Saints are not interesting.
And then he has the Patriots at four. Bad list, Schefter. Bad list.
Okay.
He says making the Patriots coaching job even more appealing to Vrabel was the fact the team has a league-high $110 million in salary cap space this offseason. New England will have the financial liberty to upgrade its roster however it sees fit, whether it's having the chance to pay T. Higgins $30 million a year or upgrading an offensive line that will need to be addressed. They also have the number four overall pick and where they'll be in position to help Drake May with that pick. New England is positioned to set up its franchise for years to come. The decisions the Patriots make this offseason will help determine how successful they will be. So who's making the decision? I still think that's so important. You think it's Vrabel.
I think it's Vrabel. I think he's not going to make every single decision, but when it comes to the important ones, I think they're going to lean on him. So like what to do with the number four pick, who to spend the most money on. Like that still needs to be cleared by Robert Kraft, obviously, but signing off on these big contracts, like I don't think he's going to lose an argument. Like if Robert Kraft, because it always starts with the owner, especially here.
Yep.
But if Robert Kraft agrees to say like a $100 million deal or whatever, and they present it to Mike Vrabel and he's like, I want T. Higgins, then I think that they're going to go strong after T. Higgins. If it's somebody that Vrabel's not really sure about, but Elliott Wolf really wants, like I don't think he's going to get his way. I think Elliott Wolf will do the thing where he presents him with a bunch of free agents to look at, a bunch of guys in the draft to look at, and the main decisions I feel like are going to come from Mike Vrabel. Now, the seventh round picks, the undrafted free agents, the lower on the level roster guys, I don't think Vrabel needs to worry about every single one of those transactions.
Those could be the Wolf and Cowden picks of
Go
the
ahead.
World. That's true. You get one pick, Keith. Obviously, we hope they hit everything. One pick. You hope they knock it out of the park with the number four pick or knock it out of the park with free agency?
So I'm going to say the number four pick because I think they need to build. Like I think they can compete this year, but I think if you want to be year in and year out a really good team, you need to stack drafts. I think free agency is important for that immediate turnaround. I think if you hit in free agency, you can add three or four wins, but then it's like, all right, where do you go from there? Especially if some of those free agents are like 30. Like so where do you really go? I think for the long-term success, you just got to hit on drafts. So, and this past draft doesn't look great, but at least you have Drake May, right? Yeah. Like, maybe it's just Drake May. That's fine. And then from there, let's see if you can get a couple of guys that are contributors, all-star, all, you know, all pros would be great, but like Pro Bowl, that kind of thing.
I hope they hit on both, obviously, but now I got to pick one.
Yeah.
I want the quick fix, spackle it over, competitive team next year.
The immediacy of it.
I do. I want. Yeah. I hope they knock it out of the park with free agency. Higgins and whatever, you know, Josh Sweat, more so than they hit on that fourth pick. So you guys can jump in on all of this. Who's running the Patriots? It's a massive offseason for them, and now it's finally here. How do we deal with it, and who's in charge? How much do you trust the Patriots, whether it's Kraft, Vrabel, Cowden, Wolf? 617-779-7937. We'll get back into that. And on the way next, it's the Madness. Kiefer Madness. Stay tuned.
Save us as a favorite on the Odyssey app and take Boston Sports Original everywhere you go.
You're listening to Jones and Keefe on WEEI. It's time for Kiefer Madness.
Kiefer Madness.
Richard Keefe, I think it is. Rich Keefe.
Who is that?
How you doing, ladies and gentlemen? My name is Joshua Adams.
What now?
It's Kiefer Madness.
Where's Keefe? Where is he?
Where's Keefe?
Where is Keefe?
Hey, Keefe, you're a douche.
I was doing Junko Inoshima from Danganronpa.
I'm a firm believer in UFOs and Sasquatch.
That's funny.
Yo, Kiefer Madness is so hit or miss.
Keefe is a nice guy.
Keefe's a nice guy. Okay.
Kiefer Madness?
It's Kiefer Madness on WEEI.
I bring it.
I would have done the same if I had found a kilo of crack cocaine.
Scotty Barnes is going to be all-star.
However, the uninvited guest in their house was more foul.
A man was captured on video using a sword to roast meat in a shopping cart.
All right, here we go. Time for Kiefer Madness. It's brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. With a 98% customer satisfaction rating and thousands of five-star reviews, the choice is clear. Awaken180weightloss.com. All right, Jones, we are going to go to Florida for this story. And this is a story two decades in the making. So a Florida reporter was, you're going to hear it throughout the story, but he first uncovered this story over 20 years ago, and he has still off and on been reporting about the same thing, essentially a really bad neighbor, somebody that you would not want as your neighbor.
Interesting.
Yes.
And it's been on the news.
On the news.
Multiple times. That's off right. And on over 20 years.
That's right.
Wow.
That's right. Like the Patriots dynasty, this thing has been going on for a very long time.
The life of the dynasty.
That's right. Let's find out.
By this time tomorrow, a sheriff's investigator will likely drive by here to confirm that Davis has violated the court order.
Nearly 25 years ago, I began covering complaints about this Central Florida home.
It's a junkyard.
Seminole County officials said the owner, Alan Davis, had been piling junk in his yard in violation of local ordinances.
So I don't know if anybody's dealing with that. If you have a neighbor that just has junk, just stacked up junk outside. It's like it's on their property, but there are ordinances, as you know, Jones. You can't just have stuff everywhere. You can't have stuff like overgrown. You can't just be like piling up cars on top of cars and things like that.
It leads to, you know, rodent infestations and things like that.
Sure it does.
Although, again, it is your property, but keep going.
It can be an eyesore.
I'm not sure what side
you're already on this guy's
side. I'm not sure what side I'm on yet, but it is.
They call him the junk man.
It is. I thought this was America. It is his property.
True. I think that's pretty much his defense.
Yeah, okay. Well,
this is America.
That's honestly a sound defense.
Seems pretty ironclad to me. All right, let's find out.
But every time they keep screwing with me, I keep moving more. And there is nothing they're going to do about it.
Now stop.
That's the guy.
Now stop. Yeah. You, I know you. You have to respect that.
I kind of do. Yeah. You keep screwing with me? Yeah. I'm going to double down on it.
No, I know you like that a little bit.
You're kind of winning me over.
I know you don't want to like this guy, but I know
you like
that.
The problem is I've seen the photos of his yard.
Doesn't matter.
It's a rough go.
No. The photos are swaying. That's the problem.
No, but this guy is committed to this.
Our forefathers fought for this, Keith.
That is true.
Yeah.
But every time they keep screwing with me, I keep moving more. And there is nothing they're going to do about it.
Davis called it a political protest.
It's basically, I'm tired of the government steamrolling over people, and they can just kiss my
Amen, brother. Amen.
I'm with you, man.
Yeah.
Every
time I look at my paycheck, I go, where's this money going?
That means just don't trash on my lawn, and so be it. That's how I'm going to live my life. That's how I'm going to do it. I'm just tired of big government. Everyone's like, yes.
Okay, you live in a literal dump.
This is big government?
But okay. Fine. In the government's face, I guess.
Yeah, huh? Yeah.
Back then, Davis had just a small amount of junk on his property.
You think there's a lot here now? Why don't you come back by tomorrow?
That's right. He's threatening.
Like one of those early 2000s things we used to watch in school.
What do you mean?
Those are like videos that's like random person doing a job.
Yeah.
This guy's threatening to just bring more junk.
Can you give me a description of the guy? I have not seen a photo. How would you describe the man?
5'10", 175.
See, that's interesting. He sounds like a real...
white as paste.
Ron Howard. What's Ron Howard's brother's name?
Oh, Clint Howard.
He sounds like a real... No. Dwight Howard? No.
Clint.
No, it's Clint.
It's Clint, Clint Howard.
Yeah, it's Clint Howard.
Whatever, him. He's Clint got like Howard. A, he's got like a man. Clint he's Howard. Got like a Clint yeah. Howard vibe to him.
A little bit.
Does sound.
You know what? Honestly, I mean, not a shot at Clint. More handsome than Clint Howard.
Okay, that's...
Not to, you know, catch strays here, Clint Howard. Not known for his appearance, necessarily.
Right. No, for sure.
No, this guy, you wouldn't... If you saw him, like, at the store, you wouldn't be like, oh, this guy's got a ton of junk.
This man lives... In a literal dump.
You wouldn't think so.
No, okay, interesting.
You think there's a lot here now? Why don't you come back by tomorrow? Let's see what I really think of the county.
So now he's taking on the county, is his whole point.
He sounds like Johnny Bark from Arrested Development. That's what he sounds like.
He does a little bit, yeah.
At that point, Davis had not yet built this giant statue of a human rear end.
You like this guy. I know you do. You like this guy.
He's very creative at this point.
I like him. How do you not like this guy?
So, you know, I am starting to like him more.
He's a real charm.
Well, at first it was just junk, but now they're telling him to move his junk. He's like, not only am I not going to make the junk, I'm going to make a giant statue of a rear end. So basically, like, you drive by his house, it's like it looks like somebody's just mooning you.
Right.
Now, it's just from the feet. It's his feet. He's in sort of like a bent over stance, and then just huge rear end. There's no, like, top half of the body or anything.
He's a modern-day Picasso.
He kind of is.
Modern-day Michelangelo.
Yeah, yes. It's not bad.
I'm liking it.
Which he would later load onto his truck and drive down the interstate while headed to court hearings.
The name of the sculpture is Kiss My A*** and You Can Just Do It.
He's a little aggressive.
Are you sure this is an MTV?
This is a real guy. This is a real guy down in Florida. They call him the Junk Man.
I like this adversarial.
Alan Davis, I think his name is.
I like this adversarial relationship he has with the reporter.
He doesn't like the reporter. He doesn't like the county. And he certainly doesn't like the government.
This is good.
Davis had not yet been arrested, put on trial, and sent to prison for criminal littering.
When he would get letters that the foliage was too high, the weeds were too high in the front yard, that he would actually... get fertilizer and fertilize the weeds to make them even higher.
So it's not like a lot of times when you see junk in front of somebody's house, I'm like, all right, that's sort of like laziness, which I get it. Like, that's fine. But you're like, oh, I'll get it to it later. No, he's now taking it one step higher. And he's like, oh, you think those weeds are high? I'm actually going to feed the weeds to make it look worse.
Now, this might be where I start to get on board.
Because
it's Florida. I missed exactly where it was again, but it's Florida. So now what's
like
living in
Seminole
those weeds?
County, I think.
What's living in those weeds?
I'd be
snakes.
Could be snakes.
Lizards.
Gators. Yeah, it could be anything.
Wild boar.
Yep.
Like, honest, like, ridiculous critters down
knows.
There.
I don't think he knows what's in there.
So this is where I start.
It is.
Entertaining as the man is, I'm losing him a little bit.
More recently, Davis built this two-story structure in his yard. It's some kind of storage platform. You cannot even see his house back there anymore.
He built a two-story storage platform in front of his house just to put more junk on.
No, I'm going to defend this guy again.
I don't know about this.
Yeah, no, the Kennedys have a compound. This man now has a compound is what he has.
True.
Yeah.
This is like that
multiple
story.
Structures kind of back together. So he's got a compound.
What was the Kennedys' like sister-in-law or whatever that had that place that they never left? Was it Grey Gardens or whatever?
Maybe. Yeah.
That's what it sounds like.
That's what it is.
They never leave. Yeah. Just like growing like moss on the house. Yeah, come in here with a broom or something? Yeah.
Like, nope.
For 25 years, Seminole County has been trying to get Alan Davis to clean up his yard on this quiet residential street. And for 25 years, Alan Davis has been thumbing his nose at the county and the people who live in this middle-class neighborhood.
He just adds and adds and adds every day.
David Radosevich lives two doors down.
I was very happy to hear that they're going to finally do something.
For decades, he's begged the county to take action.
Did you think when I first met you nearly 25 years ago that we would be standing here talking today?
No. Well, I thought for sure by now they'd be cleaned up, to be honest with you.
Live from WKMG, the problem solvers. This is Local 6 News at 5.
It's not just the airplane fuselage outside Alan Davis's home that angers his neighbors, nor is it the sports car body. It's the airplane, the sports car, the water heater, the metal drums, the twisted seal, the plastic tarps.
He's got a pool back there that's really, really bad.
All right. Well, now I don't appreciate this guy.
He's gonna
fool me. Gonna judge my.
He's got just shells of sports cars. Where's he getting all that stuff?
Sounds like this guy's living the American dream. Lives in Florida.
He does live in Florida.
It's gorgeous. He's got a pool.
Yeah, no.
This guy's not doing so
bad. He sees a lot of sun. He's out there getting his vitamin D. But there's just it's a lot. He's adding stuff every day.
Okay. But the lesson here is...
Don't complain.
You just don't...
Because you incited this man.
Yes. Don't point out anything to your neighbors.
Oh, I don't. I definitely don't.
I would never...
Do whatever you want.
I would never dream of saying anything.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even say it.
No.
This is my fear.
I assume they're going to make it worse.
This is my exact fear. Bring it up. Yeah. They're going to double down like this man. They're going to... Next thing you know, giant ass statue made out of trash.
He did a good job on the statue, for being honest. He did a nice job.
Alan Davis's legal troubles began in April 2000 when a Seminole County code inspector found uncultivated vegetation in excess of 24 inches and objectionable, unsightly, or unsanitary matter that threatened the health, safety, lives, and welfare of the citizens. County officials repeatedly told Davis to clean up the yard. His response?
Chance! Kind of love this guy, I think.
Yeah, he's not bad.
So I wouldn't want to live next door to him, but...
This was a 15-minute news story that they... basically, the end of it is he has over $5 million in fines, but they can't really do anything to make him pay it.
Nice.
Like, so, long story short, he's not going to do anything.
You can just do that.
Apparently, when it comes to this, they can't really enforce it. He's like, nothing's going to happen to this guy. Yeah, I was like waiting for like this big edit. They even talked to the neighbor. The guy was like, "Would you say that he won?" And the neighbor's like, "Yeah,
yeah."
He's obviously.
I'm getting smoked on this one.
Still, look at all his stuff still there. He doesn't seem to be worried about it at all.
His response?
Fat chance. It's the United Nations. They can hand out all the sanctions they want. They have no teeth. Millions and millions in fines. Can't make the guy pay it. What's the point?
Do you think the Red Sox are going to sign Alex Bregman?
Fat chance.
There you go. There's the madness here on this fine Tuesday.
I mean, outside of the tall grass with all the wild critters living in, I think I'm entirely on this guy's side.
I'll show you some of the pictures of it. It's a wild scene.
Again, there's a lesson in why.
He basically created a two-story carport just for stuff.
It's the American dream.
It is.
Yeah, just don't say anything. Just keep it to yourself. That's the lesson here. Keep it to yourself. We'll keep keeping it to ourselves here on a radio show in Boston. 617-779-7937. That is the madness, Kiefer Madness, each and every week at this time here on Jones and Keefe. We'll get back to the Patriots, their offseason, Josh McDaniels, who really brought him here. More thoughts on the Red Sox as well. Stay tuned.